In 2007, the Babylon podcast was our last best hope for more Lost Tales. We thought it failed. But after WonderCon, it became something more. Our last best hope for more Lost Tales geeking. The year is 2008. The name of the show is the Babylon Podcast. And welcome people back to another Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I am Tim Callender.
Oh. And he's Brad, and I'm Jeffrey.
Well, I was waiting for the, you know, waiting for Jeff usually to drop in there.
So. Yeah, Brad knew his place.
I know, I'm the redheaded stepchild of the show.
you're the worker cast.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, Brad does his best to make us all sound very good after Mike records us. And we have a special guest in studio. We have Chris Mayo from Food Geeking, who's joining us, formerly known as Chris, the Cheesecake Lady from the show that was used to be called Winging It. And yeah, she was the first person who brought me a copy of the dining guide. So the very first time I actually laid my eyes on it was her copy, which I actually took home for a couple of weeks to peruse. And then Gary so generously sent me a copy. I'm like, whoa, cool. I have my own copy now. Yay. Life is good. Uh-huh.
Well, there's a very appropriate reason for me being here because I first learned of Farpoint Media when I was scoping Babylon 5 and came up with the Babylon podcast and went, and then followed the links into Farpoint Media, and that brought me here.
And you got sucked in.
Babylon 5, gateway drug.
Farpoint Media, black hole of the universe.
There you go.
It seemed appropriate to make an appearance here, finally.
And we've actually heard that, like, Farpoint Media itself is a hardcore addiction, and shows like Slice and Pod Culture and Babylon 5 are the gateway drugs. So we're good.
Oh, yeah. Farpoint Media is bigger than the internet.
I hope not. We need all of those tubes to serve out our shows.
I think I felt like John Lennon when I said that.
I was thinking it was more like Ironheart, you know, Farpoint Media and transcend into another dimension at that point.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, see? Hey, Chris, let me ask you something, since you are our foodie for tonight.
Yes.
In the Dining on Babylon 5, what, in your gourmet opinion, is the best dish in the book?
Ooh, I've not tried all of them yet. We did have a grand idea at some point of doing a testing of many of them. They've got two different recipes for spoo. They've got a Swedish meatball recipe for jacar.
Right.
Then there's Garibaldi's dish, which actually is a historical real dish. The, I can't remember the name of it. Summer, do you recall?
No.
The one where he's got the butter and he's trying to get all these things on board. But Franklin's saying, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have that.
Right, because he's on a diet, and it's some kind of link. I don't remember.
It was an Italian dish.
Yes. Yes, but essentially it's a pot of melted oil and butter that you dip bread and things into. And that looks particularly tasty, actually.
Oh, I can't believe I can't think of it now. That's awful. Well, look, I've got some exciting news I want to share real quick. Before we go on here,
mm-hmm.
This comes from the JMS mailing digest thing. And he writes, starting mid-July into August, possibly September, I'm going to be traveling quite a lot and researching a new movie project that I cannot for the moment announce. Not Lensman. This is a different project. I've already started on Lensman. Woohoo! There's a Lensman movie coming out. Come on, is everybody?
I was seeing how long I could stay quiet about
it. JMS writing a Lensman movie.
JMS is writing a Lensman movie, and actually, Tim will probably be the first to go see it, And are you going to wear a lensman uniform when you go see it?
I don't look so good in the grays. They're very, very form-fitting.
Come on, you've got to go full fanboy here.
The only thing that Kimball K. Kinnison and I share in common are vowels in our names.
Okay. You've been thinking about this.
Oh, I could probably go as Nadrick. I'll get an environment suit get up thing. There we go. That's not a bad idea.
Are you going to do a Lensman podcast?
I might have to now, huh?
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because the Star Trek podcast went so far last time.
I know. Yeah. That really crashed and burned. Oh, well.
Oh, so Garibaldi's good. Dinner? Bagna Cotta? Cotta.
Yep.
That's it.
I don't even know how to pronounce that, but yeah.
B-A-G-A.
Bagna Cotta. Is that it?
Yeah, C-A-U-D-A.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think when I graduated college, I was Bagna Cotta, wasn't I?
Probably for you, yes.
You were just soft.
Oh. I don't know what's worse, that joke or Tim's.
Jeffrey's puns are a gateway drug.
this is becoming pun central. All of the shows. I mean, the gnome puns are out of control. They're funny, but they're out of control.
I'm waiting for the pink flamingos to happen next.
No. I kid you not. Right now, on the desk here in the studio,
yep.
There's a small green piece of lawn, like sponge, with white picket fence around all four corners that have corralled miniature pink flamingos.
Four pink flamingos, yep.
Right, standing next to a mini lawn gnome.
Yep. It's out of control.
Mm-hmm.
It's and that funny. Would be sliceofscifi.com.
Ding.
Thank you. Ding.
Hey, this is a good time to take a break before we get really...
Yes. We'll take a really quick break. We have a special interview guest today.
Yes.
And we're going to leave it as a surprise. So you have to keep listening.
That's not a surprise if they listened last week.
Well, you have to make them listen to last week then.
There we go.
You know, folks, we here at the Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing Podcast want to salute and thank our wonderful listeners for spreading the word about our show. Our community is growing, and we want to invite you to join us for the ride. We have interviewed some of the best writers of science fiction and fantasy working today, including R.A. Salvatore, Jacqueline Carey, Kim Harrison, Robert J. Sawyer, Brandon Sanderson, and dozens more. We've added some really fun and informative segments, like Ask a Writer with Tobias S. Bakel, who answers your questions about writing, From the Editor's Desk, where major editors of science fiction discuss the business, and Magazine Spotlight, showcasing the very best in short fiction markets. And check out what Tracy Hickman has to say about us.
You are listening to Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing, the place to learn about publishing in SF.
So come on over to adventuresinscifipublishing.com and share in this insanity, bringing you the business, fun, and intrigue of speculative fiction, one podcast at a time.
We are back on the Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
Still Tim Callender.
I'm Brad.
And we have as our special guest, just fluttering around in the background there, trying to come in for a landing, is the great Luke Ski.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Luke. How are
Welcome
you?
To the show.
I'm doing just great out here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Just trying to write. Kenosha, Wisconsin gets a ding. Yes, we're promoting the entire city. We're
there
the tourism board of Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yes, Orson Welles is from here. We're next to Lake Michigan. You can come here and eat a sandwich in wonderful downtown Kenosha, Wisconsin. So, yeah, just working on some new material with some friends of mine for a project. It's a top-secret project, so I'm not telling you about it. So, but, yeah, just having some fun.
I think Jeffrey's gone off the deep end with the dinging.
I didn't know he had that thing, but it's a great feature. I love it. I'm going to use it all the time now.
It's either that or his seatbelt is not plugged in there.
So, Brad, a few weeks ago, brought to our attention a little song called No Sleep Till Babylon, and I literally, I lost my breath laughing.
Excellent. I always do my best to take women's breath away.
Oh. Well, you succeeded. You know. You succeeded there.
Well, yeah, basically, I always kind of considered Babylon 5 to be, you know, kind of my great white whale of subject matters. You know, being someone who makes a living performing at science fiction conventions, doing my geeky comedy songs, you know, I've got, you know, tons of songs about Star Trek and Star Wars and, you know, miscellaneous other topics, but I never had a Babylon 5 song because I unfortunately never caught the show, but thanks to the wonderful power of, here comes Netflix! oh wait, but,
yes.
No, yeah, thank you.
You can ding Netflix.
Yes, I was able to finally get through the entire series, like, and all the movies and all the other stuff, and, you know, got off my butt and finally did an old school hip hop parody about Babylon 5, with, and I believe I'm probably the only person in history to ever have done so. I'm very proud of that. Yeah, I'm so glad to find out you guys are digging it so much.
Well, there's so far and few between these Babylon 5 parody songs.
And actually, I'm working on my next album, which will hopefully be out in August. I haven't figured a title for it yet, but I think you know, there's a pretty decent chance that, you know, I'm going to get at least one more song parody out of the Babylon 5 universe that'll end up on that album.
A new album just in time for Dragon Con, huh?
Actually, I don't know if I'm going to Dragon Con because people at Dragon Con won't get back to me.
Uh-oh.
I've been there every year since 2004, trying to, you know, represent for the comedy music scene, get my friends from the Dr. Demento show to appear on the you know, at Dragon Con and provide some more entertainment to the masses. And, you know, this year it's kind of like they aren't getting back to me via telephone or email, so I'm basically just sitting here wondering if I'm going to Dragon Con or not. So I hope I go, so we'll just have to wait and see. But a couple weeks before that, in Indianapolis, is Gen Con Indy, and that's the convention I've been performing at every year since 1994.
That's right up the road from me.
Yes, I have been the judging time entertainment of the Gen Con Indy Masquerade for over a decade now, and it's kind of become tradition that I release my new album at Gen Con Indy and then do the halftime act there and clear a bunch of new songs and stuff like that. So I'm hoping to get another Babylon 5 song parody finished because there's a certain Centauri ambassador who has some more things to say about his life and how he feels underappreciated in the grand scheme of things.
I've got an idea for you. We'll talk after the show.
Okay.
So what was the inspiration that led you to, while you're watching Babylon 5, you're going, hey, you know what? The Beastie Boys would be really, really great right now.
I specialize in doing hip-hop parodies. It's about half of the stuff I do. And I had kind of this list of songs that I have not yet parodied that I've been wanting to. And for some reason, the song Bust a Move by Young MC kept being the one in the forefront that, you know, made me kind of think, okay, I'm going to do something with Bust a Move about Babylon 5. And nothing was really matching up in a way that made any sense. And then one day, it just, I don't specifically remember what it was that made me tie the two of them together, but I just, you know, just the word, you know, Brooklyn, you know, B-R-O-O-K-L-Y-N, and then I realized, oh, crap, Babylon. It's like, no sleep till Babylon. Oh, that makes so much sense, because there's so much stuff going on there that they can't get any sleep. Or something. it just seemed to tie in a lot better, and you know, it's always fun to do the Beastie Boys, especially the stuff from the License to Ill album. So yeah, it just all started falling into place. The toughest part was trying to figure out how to fill that 8-measure guitar solo, you know, after the third verse. I'm like, you know, there's no lyrics here. What could I possibly do to fill in that much space? So thank goodness Ivanova was there to save the day.
There you go.
Well, your voice is lovely, but the young lady that does the Ivanova part is outstanding.
Yeah, she did a great job. I'm involved with a website called The Funny Music Project, which is at thefump.com, which one of the artists there is this guy named Sea Monkey, who is known for doing parodies of an incredibly raunchy blue nature, like subject matters that make you go, ew, you know, unless you're, you know, the kind of person who can handle that kind of, you know, super blue comedy. And it's kind of like I would explain to you some of his song premises, but I'm not sure if your show is PG rated or if I could even get away with explaining the premises without, you know, getting bleeped. Trust me, it's high quality stuff, but it's very raunchy. And he has a wife that performs with him. They did a Love Shack party together and some other stuff. And her voice has appeared on his track. And I'm like, well, for the Ivanova, you know, sex mating dance, whatever you call that thing, you know, I'm like, what if I could get Sea Monkey's wife, whose nickname is Sea Monkette, if we could get her to do that part because she's already, you know, used to doing all these raunchy, sexy things with Sea Monkey. I'm like, here, watch this YouTube clip of this woman. She's faking out an alien, pretending that they're having sex. I want you to do that same bit, but do it in kind of in more of a rhythm to fit with this song. And I sent it to her, and she did a great job. So I have to really send props out to her for stepping up to the challenge, and also to my good friends, Jared and John of the group Possible Oscar, who made the background track for me for that.
Wow.
That was going to be my next question, is whether or not you performed the music, or how did you get that?
When I perform things live, it's essentially, you know, kind of like a beefed up version of karaoke. I have all my background tracks on CD, and I just kind of rock the mic and, you know, have the tracks play. And I have various sources that I get my background tracks from. And the main one is a group, as I just mentioned, they're called Possible Oscar. They're another group from thefunk.com. They do a lot of great song parodies in and of themselves. The people in the funny music world essentially hire them to do cover versions of songs so that they can have music to sing along to if they're not a person who has the, you know, tech or the instruments or, you know, a combination thereof to create their own music. Guys like Possible Oscar, you know, can get paid a decent fee to create music for other people. So they always do a great job. I've been working for them for so many years, and they've helped me create a lot of my biggest hits. So I very much appreciate the work they do. So between them, my brother JT is in a hip-hop band in Madison, so he does a lot of my rap stuff as well. And there's various other artists out there that help me out. I always do my best when I post these songs online to give everyone the proper credit that they deserve for helping me create all of this silliness.
So it's kind of like all one big family then, huh?
Yeah, that was kind of the idea behind the Funny Music Project, was just to basically take all of these comedy music acts that submit songs to the Dr. Demento show and are just trying to make a name for themselves and also let the world know, hey, funny music isn't dead. We're still out here. Just because mainstream radio refuses to play us anymore doesn't mean we've gone away. So we all got together and made the Funny Music Project website. Rob Balder, who is big in the webcomics world, he created Partial Eclipse and Earth World. He came up with the idea, got together with my friend Devo Spice of the group Sudden Death, and then we just kind of got a snowball rolling with myself, Tom Smith, Worm Quartet, Possible Oscar, Raymond and Scum, Carrie Dalby, Robert Lund, so many other cool artists all got in on this, so that twice a week we're posting a new comedy song that people can download for free at thefunk.com. Every Tuesday and Friday, one of us puts up a new song, and there's always 8 songs on the main page, and then, you know, after one gets bumped off the list into the archive, it's only 99 cents to download. We've been doing this since January of 07, and we've already put out 8 compilation albums of of all the songs we've posted there. Every 2 months we put out another compilation, and, you know, basically just trying to let the world know, hey, funny music lives. Just, you know, you don't have to be, you know, listen to what's being forced on MTV or on, you know, the corporate-owned radio stations. You can find your own, you know, music scene if you just look for it. So, you know, yeah. Okay, I'm getting off my soapbox now.
and folks can, if they find artists and stuff that they like, they can support by subscriptions, I think, on there?
Yes. The main thing there was we're trying to have all the songs able to at least listen to for free. The ones on the main page you can download for free. So if you're visiting the website every 2 to 3 weeks, you can get all these tracks for free. But if you want to kind of step up and get a slightly higher quality download, you can subscribe to get that. There's a second higher subscription service so that every time we put out one of those compilation CDs, you get it sent to you for free in the mail. We're trying to come up with some other promotions and stuff to, you know, entice people into supporting us. But it's been going pretty good so far. The fan support has been great. Dr. Demento loves us. He kind of views it like we make his job a lot easier. He doesn't quite have to search around quite as hard to find all the funny music because, you know, we've kind of gotten, you know, the all-stars. We're kind of the super friends of comedy music. We're just all in one convenient location. There's certainly other great artists that aren't the Fump. I'm not trying to say, if you're not at the Fump, you suck. It's like, no, there's lots of other great artists all over the place. I do my best to list them all at the links page of my website, which is lukeski.com. So
are you guys, do you find yourselves trying to one-up each other, trying to get more notice from Dr. Demento, or is there just equal Dr. Demento love for everyone?
It's pretty equal. We kind of will intentionally make up reasons for us to argue with each other. For example, there's a wonderful Celtic artist named Mark Gunn. He's after the Brobdingnag and Bards. Mark put out a whole album of parodies of Irish classical, you know, Celtic songs about his cats. This is called Songs for Cat Lovers. Irish drinking songs for cat lovers.
Yes.
I think that's what
I actually think we debuted that album on Slice of Sci-Fi for him.
Cool. And I think he has a second album, like a volume two of the same things in the works. And he's been putting a few of these songs up at his website. So if you go to thefump.com right now, my good friend Worm Quartet, who does like comedy synth punk and is very popular on the Dr. Demento show. Yeah, Worm Quartet just posted a song today called God Damn It, Mark Gunn, Shut Up About Your Cat.
And it's hilarious.
Basically, you know, so he decided that he's going to, you know, throw down and start a little bit of a dementia smackdown between him and Mark Gunn. And I know that Mark Gunn, I don't think it's the next track, possibly the next track after. Within a week or so, there's going to be a track up from Mark Gunn entitled Dear Worm Quartet. So apparently Mark Gunn already has a response to this that will be coming soon at thefump.com. So yeah, we have a lot of fun. I mean, back in 2002 and 2003, I had the number one song of the year on the Dr. Demento show, and like Worm Quartet came in second. And then the following year, Worm Quartet was number one, and I came in like third. And then, you know, it's just kind of like we're all kind of like, you know, slinging snowballs at each other, so to speak. Like, oh, you're number one. No, I'm number one. We're just kind of like trying to share it and just be silly and have all these big fake rivalries with each other just for fun. Although last year, good Lord, 2007 was the year of sudden death. Oh, my God. Sudden death is so awesome. The Dr. Demento has a top 25 countdown at the end of each year. Sudden death had the number one song, the number two song, the number four song, and was featured on number five. So he pretty much pwned everybody for 2007. And he put out an album this year called Fatal Air, which has all these great songs he put out. And I think it's the best comedy rap album ever released, in my opinion. So if you like the funny hip-hop, I highly recommend Sudden Death's Fatal Air. And in fact, another tie-in, there is a song by Sudden Death featuring me. He wrote this and he asked me to be a co-vocalist on the lead vocals for it. It's up at thefump.com on the main page right now, called The Geeks Come Out at Night.
Nice.
And it is a tribute to all of the science fiction fan convention room party scenes that are out there. And I go to like, you know, 24 conventions a year, and I've seen a lot of wild stuff at conventions, and Devo Spice did a really great job of summing up what it's all like. So I highly recommend going to the main page of thefump.com. You can get The Geeks Come Out at Night by Sudden Death. You can get No Sleep Till Babylon by me, Luke Ski, and lots of other cool stuff by people who make funny music.
Excellent.
And for those of you who are into the whole podcasting thing, as I assume you all the music at thefump.com is pod safe. You're welcome to take it and play it on your podcast. We just ask that you let people know, you know, where you got it from.
Now, let me ask you something, Luke. If someone were to go ahead and spring for the subscription to get into the archives, what songs of yours, especially geek-themed, would people want to check out?
Well, first of all, let me just mention, you don't have to subscribe to get into the archives. The archives are all there for everyone to see. You know, the songs that are in there, you can listen to them for free, but if you want to download them, they cost 99 cents, which, you know, isn't that big of a deal. But, you know, like I said, if you get the subscription thing, then, like, you get all the downloads whenever you want. But anyway, to answer your question, let's see. There is the first track I posted there was recorded in 2006. It was a piece I wrote back in 1998, so it's kind of dated material, but it was a decent good live recording of a piece I wrote called You Might Be a Trekkie. So, you know, there was things like, if you consider foam latex, spirit gum, and chainmail a business expense, you might be a Trekkie.
if you ever put a lampshade on your head at a party and walk around going, danger, Will Robinson, danger, you might be a Trekkie. And, of course, if the bingo caller yells B5 and you say, shoot, I forgot to set my VCR, you might be a Trekkie, you know.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, there's that. There's a parody of Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock's It Takes Two about Doctor Who, aptly titled It Takes Who. That was kind of a bit, a big fan amongst the Whovians out there. If you're into Family Guy, there's always Getting Giggity With It. If you're into The Office, there's a song called Man from Dunder that was, and there was a fan video made for that that was really good. Let's see, what else? The lovely Carrie Dalby, who sings lead vocals for me whenever I do a parody of a female artist, I have her step in because she does such a great job and I really would suck at it. I did a parody called Holding Out for Hero.
Oh, yes.
H-I-R-O.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah, so that one was a big hit on Dr. Demento last year. I think it was number 12 on the countdown for the year. Damn you, sudden death! So, let's see, what else? Oh, if you're in the holiday spirit, there's a track called It's a Fanboy Christmas 2, The Wrath of Claus, the follow-up to an older song I did called It's a Fanboy Christmas, and you can get that one at Luxki.com. let's see. Oh, there's a new track came out in January called Jack Bauer. It's about this guy named Jack Bauer. You might have heard of the show 24. And, of course, I put it out in January, not realizing that the writer strike was going to completely screw me by there not being a season of 24 this year. But, you know, what the heck. It's been around 6 years, so, and some geeks like the 24.
We got writer's strike because they wrapped it up sooner than we thought it was going to. We had a great intro for the podcast, and then they went and settled all their differences.
This is going to sound in bad taste, but it wasn't meant to be. Back when my third album came out, I was going to be on this college radio show in southern Alabama, and I had this whole idea that me and one of the other DJs were going to pretend like we were taking over the radio station. Like, ha-ha, we've got guns, we're holding you all captive. And we're taking over. And then, you know, I got down there, went to bed, got up the next morning, the morning of the show, Columbine happened.
Oh, wow.
It was like, okay, forget the whole funny, wacky sketch bit. That really isn't going to fly. Yeah, let's just forget it. So, anyway. But, yeah, as I mentioned before, many other artists that have many other geeky songs at the Fump that you'd love. God, I just feel like everything I'm saying is plugging stuff, and I apologize if that's the way it's coming across, but I think by now people who know me know. It's just kind of like Tourette syndrome with me. I can't help it.
Mm. So, okay, go ahead, Brad.
Well, I had one of my favorite songs of Luke's. I'm still trying to figure out how he took two movies from the 70s and came up with a 12-minute song, Grease Wars.
Ah, yes, Grease Wars. Have any of you heard or seen me perform Grease Wars there on the podcast?
I haven't seen the performance, no.
Oh, I've heard it. It's great.
It was voted on my fans at my website. I have a top 100 list of, you know, what are the fans' most favorite tracks by me. And it was voted number one. And the premise of it is, you know, George Lucas and John Williams were trying to save money. So rather than writing music for Star Wars, they were going to steal it all from a movie being made at a rival studio at the same time. And then they got caught and they had to, you know, put the music, you know, make music like they were supposed to. So, you know, the recording I have is the, you know, rare recording of the original score to Star Wars. And it's basically a series of mini parodies of every song from the musical Grease done to retell the story of Star Wars Episode mm-hmm. 4, New Hope. Yeah. So there's a great bits in there, Hopelessly Devoted to R2,
uh-huh.
Obi-Wan That I Want, Jedi School Dropout, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of great bits in there. I was fortunate enough to be able to perform that at Dragon Con 2005 at their masquerade with Carrie Dalby, and she and I got a standing ovation from about 3,000 people. So that was like one of the highlights of my career. And I've made a music video for it. I have, and you know, it's it's just a real humdinger of a song. The best part is when seeing it live is that sometimes Carrie Dalby isn't with me, so I have to sing all the Princess Leia parts. So I put like a couple of hair buns on my head and I sing falsetto, and it's quite ridiculous. But the album cut has her on it, so it sounds really good.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What
okay.
song would inspire you to write a parody song featuring our favorite Vorlon?
What song? I don't know. Let me think. Vorlons.
I don't know. A friend of mine, do you know the Adam Sandler song called Ode to My Car?
Yes.
It's, you know, it's like, piece of beep car, you know. A friend of mine has been trying to encourage me for years now to do a song from the Narn citizen's point of view called Peace with Jakar. Peace with Jakar. I'm making peace with Jakar, and I have other things I have to work on. Although I could do a tune about the Zocalo. That would be good.
Kokomo, Aruba. By the Beach Boys.
Yes, exactly. You know. Molari, Centauri, I don't know. I can't think of anything now. You're putting me on the spot, and I'm trying to come up with funny stuff, and I'm failing. Oh, in the Fanboy Christmas 2 song, I do make a brief vignette in Fanboy Christmas 2 relating to Babylon 5, in which there's a little bit of a Christmas carol being sung by Londo and Veer. And Veer asks Londo, "Do the Vorlon celebrate Christmas?" And Londo responds, "No, I think they're all Jewish. They all seem a bit kosher." To which Kosher replies, "Ugh, lousy pun." So yeah, I'm sorry, I can't. And you know what? As soon as I get off the phone, I'm gonna get 8 song ideas for Kosh parodies, and I'm gonna be kicking myself. But right now, I am blanking, so I apologize.
That's how it always goes.
It's okay, Luke. We can wait. We're patient. We got plenty of time.
No, see, if the sooner we let him settle down and just be still with himself, he'll come up with a lot of ideas, and hopefully, he'll email them to Tim.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Once that happens and I get a flood of ideas, I'll email them to you and you can read them on your next show or something.
Perfect. We had an ongoing, I don't know if joke is too strong a word, but we were looking for all the Vorlon television shows.
So. The Vorlon movie puns?
Yeah.
The guys in the chat room drove me nuts with that.
I think that was a short drive.
I love you too, Brad.
All right. Well, Luke, something else that we wanted to touch on. You mentioned that Tom Smith of 5 Years fame is part of the FUMP, but I understand there's something going on with Tom. Can you let our listeners know what's the deal with that?
Yeah. Basically, Tom Smith, who is, for those of you who know what the word filk means, it means it's like there's fan fiction and there's fan films. Filk is fan music, essentially, and Tom Smith has been performing it at conventions for 2 decades. He's brilliant and funny and very fast. He probably would have thought of like 8 cost jokes immediately. You know, he pones me most of the time. And he did a song that came out back, you know, right when Babylon 5 first ended. It was a parody of the Bare Naked Ladies 1 week about the whole series of Babylon 5 called 5 Years. And if you go to like YouTube and do a search for Tom Smith 5 Years, you'll find some fan videos made of it. And it's a really great song. He did a couple other Babylon 5 tunes as well. But the thing that's going on with Tom right now is he was attending a Christine Lavin concert and attempted to get up on stage, and Tom's kind of a heavy guy, and unfortunately when he went to, there was no like stairs, he basically had to try to make one big step of about 18 inches up onto the stage, and when he did that he tore one of his quadricep muscles, and he ended up in the hospital, and he has since had like 2 surgeries. He's recovering okay, he's going to be okay, but it means that he needs to literally put no pressure on that leg for like 3 or 4 months, which means he's an independent musician with no health insurance who now has to both cancel gigs and rack up medical bills at the same time. So Tom's kind of in need of some help. My friends Rob Balder from the FUMP and DJ Particle basically rallied the filk community and the comedy music communities to get together and put together a fundraiser website and MP3 compilation album to benefit Tom Smith so the money can all go straight to him to help get his bills paid. There have already been a couple of benefit concerts in Tom's name done at other conventions across the country that he was supposed to be at but had to cancel on. It's just a lot of love for the guy. He's such a great, awesome guy and a very funny performer. Go to lukeski.com, my website, L-U-K-E-S-K-I, and if you scan down the page, like the second entry there is the Tom Smith Fundraiser MP3 album, and it's a little cute cartoon I drew, and there's a link in that entry that'll take you to the website where you can basically make a donation, and in exchange for a donation of any amount, as little or as big as you can afford, you'll get access to about 40 or more MP3s of other people doing cover versions of Tom Smith songs. So, like, all these great filters and comedies and people have all donated songs to this so that we can just try to help Tom out as much as we can because he needs it. So, yeah, site that you'd be taken to has links back to Tom's own website and his live journal and all his other online stuff so you can, find out more about him and how cool he is. And yeah, just spread the love for Tom. We're trying to help as much as we can. So, yeah, just like I said, go to my website, the second entry down. Actually, I'll the hell with it. I'll just spell it out on the air in case something changes now and somebody hears this. The main URL is partiallyclips.com/Tom Smith. That's the word partially, and then the word clips.com/Tom Smith.
There you go.
So, yeah. But like I said, there's going to be a link to it somewhere at my website as well, lukeski.com. So please go and help out Tom because he's awesome. So, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything in the universe I haven't plugged yet on the show. I think I've plugged virtually everything.
Yes. Luke, I have a question, please, about the about this Tom Smith thing. So are you part of the team that's managing that website and then handling those donations?
My girlfriend created the website, and the way she set it up is that the donations being made are PayPal going directly to Tom's PayPal account. So it's not going through anybody else's hands other than PayPal taking whatever little fees they take. All that money's going directly to Tom Smith.
So here's what I was thinking. Tom graciously created ending music for the Babylon Park Grudge Match animation show that I did. I produced with Chris Russo out of Texas back in 99. I think that was 99.
Yeah, I actually have both of the Babylon Park episodes on VHS. So, yeah,
I've got some inventory of those VHSs that I will happily donate to this cause, and if that can be a premium incentive for people to cough up a little bit extra and it goes to Tom's well-being, then I'm all about it. So let me know how we can coordinate this so that people can get copies of the Babylon Park and also contribute to Tom's health.
Probably the best person to talk to about that to set that up would be Rob Balder, because he was kind of the main point man on getting everything going with it. I believe his email address is rob.balder@gmail.com. And if I'm wrong about that, just go to robbalder.com and you can, send him a message from there, or just, bug me and I'll give you his cell phone number or something. But yeah, that would be awesome. We totally would appreciate that. And I'm sure Tom would appreciate that too.
He's the best. He did a great job on that. If you haven't heard that song, it's fabulous.
Yes, it was one of Tom's first attempts at hip hop, I think. And he hasn't done too many attempts at hip hop, but I had to commend him on that one. So yeah, and once I got done, Netflixing B5, and I got through the entire thing, I went back and rewatched the two Babylon Park things. And I'm like, okay, here's all the jokes I didn't get the first time. So yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for our interview tonight.
Yes.
Sure, no problem. And once again, thank you guys so much for having me on the show. And please, feel free to play No Sleep Till Babylon or any other of my stuff on the show if you please. I appreciate it a lot.
No problem. We'll have plenty of links to the sites to help out Tom and to find the funny music project, and of course the great Luke Ski's own website. Ding.
Ding.
There we go. And so we'll be right back with more Babylon Podcast right after this.
This ought to teach him.
Evening, Brownie. How about you step away from the axe?
I am not a brownie. I am a fae.
Fae? Wait a second. Robin Goodfellow.
Ah, so you know of Peck the Trickster.
Yeah, I know you. Acrianus, the Giddy Galleon, a dice game. Remember me?
Oh. Billy Bob Beddings. Of course.
Kind of rude, don't you think, to come calling on an old friend from the stomping grounds and just help yourself to his weapons. Sounds like trouble.
Well, you started it.
Beg your pardon?
You stole a scribe's birthday. My cousin's scribe. The Dark Goddess isn't pleased you're releasing your new adventure on 080808.
That's why the promo's called Billy's Crazy Eights Shifter. August 8th is when The Case of the Pitcher's Pendant is out on Amazon.com, and I'm looking for listeners to give up the greenbacks for the dwarf detective.
Well, aren't we feeling a bit full of ourselves, Scrappy? Or perchance you do not know that Digital Magic, the sequel to Chasing the Bard, will also be available for purchase on August 8th. Happy birthday, Pip!
Two sequels to two award-nominated books available on the same date? Like I said, sounds like trouble.
Yes, double trouble.
On August 8th, 2008, show your support for The Dwarf Detective, The Fey Trickster, and Podcast Fiction. Purchase your copies of The Case of the Pitcher's Pendant by T. Morris and Digital Magic by Philippa Ballantyne on Amazon.com. We've seen the days of the FDO and Palm's Daddy. Now comes 8808, the day of double trouble.
All right, so we're working together. Behave.
You think you can make me?
I got Beatrice here. What do you got? Not bad, Shifter. Not bad.
And we're back. And again, many, many thanks to Luke. And our best wishes go out to Tom Smith. And like I said, check the website for the links that Luke mentioned. Let's help out Tom, because he's done a lot for the B5 community, the B5 fans, giving us more entertainment in a time where there wasn't a whole lot of new B5 content coming along. So, yeah, that'll be it.
Plus, he does some really good music.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Tim, do we have any feedback?
Yeah, we got a couple free little voicemails I think we can knock out real quick and try to make it a little easier on our next stuff.
Well, I actually have something really cool to start things out with.
Uh-oh.
On the next Babylon podcast, the B5 script books may be over.
We're going to have to find someone who has volume 15 and sit down with them.
But the next installment of Lost Tales,
JMS made some announcements saying, you're not going to get any Crusade, but you'll get more Lost Tales,
has just begun.
And I believe there's also a comment in there that they might be working on a comic.
The fans are about to get a whole new reason to geek.
The 12 is okay. It's not quite legal yet, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That means I have to stay here and push buttons.
Michael R. Meningay guest stars on the next Babylon podcast.
I got a promo!
Wow.
That's awesome.
I thought that was cool.
Wow. Wow, it's cool.
Pack the website on the end of that and let Brad drop it in Pod Culture and everywhere else.
There you go. I'm happy just sitting back here in the shadows and punching buttons. I do enough damn shows.
The shadows.
So Mike
the
is
shadows? Did somebody say shadows?
I am, yeah.
Ben and Gay, Morton.
Yeah. There you go. Now you understand. Now you got it.
Uh-huh.
You understand the full sinister aspect of all things Farpoint. Holy cow. We've got, we've got so many things that we could play off of there. I think I'll stay away from that.
He asked me what I wanted.
Okay. There you go. We can make that happen for you.
Hush. Don't tempt him. You know, he can't sell his soul. We already own it. Oops, did I say that out loud?
You wouldn't get much for it anyway.
Okay.
Buck 95 down on Thomas.
Let's go check our first voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Gary from Jacksonville. Tim, I'm listening to the recap on whatever what happened to Mr. Garibaldi, and you said something, and I never actually caught it before. The scenes where they splash back where Sheridan's being held by, like, those two energy tendrils. If I'm hearing what you said right, just for a point of clarification, are you saying that there was no cave, there were no fires, that he was basically suspended by or held by Lorien the whole episode? Because, wow, that part really just blew my mind. I never quite picked up on that for some reason, and I just wanted to get a clarification from you. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care. Bye.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. In fact, I've been doing my homework summer and pondering greatly the issues I've had with the whole, Lorien bringing Sheridan back to life business. And one of the things that I loved about whatever happened to Mr. Garibaldi is the metaphysical quality of it and the emotional depth. To me, it was all metaphorical, in the sense that Sheridan has to let go of everything, as Lorien says. He has to let go of, reasons to die and reasons to live and just let it happen. And what do you hold on to? So, even just as far as the one element visually in there, when Sheridan grabs Lorien by the lapel and shoves him up against the cave wall and he says, who are you? And Lorien just kind of looks at him. And then all of a sudden it's the tendril thing. That gives me the sensation that, that's the one thing that I base the concept on, that all the caves, the fires and everything were metaphorical, if you will. And I guess that's the thing, since it's that metaphor in that episode, when you get to the point where Kosh comes barreling out of Sheridan again, he's lying on the deck, and then you get Lorien and the little flash of light, and he gets the headache, and that's so literal that to me it falls flat. So that's kind of the long and short of it.
There's also a key phrase in there, though. He's between the tick and the talk. He is being held in time.
Right.
I've always interpreted it in the same fashion, so yeah. You're not alone.
Yeah, because I think the second time I watched it, I realized that the caves was just something his mind was projecting to make sense of why he was still alive, why he was still there. And what the reality of what was going on was him being suspended in time by Lorien and those energy tendrils, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mental construct.
Yep.
So there you go, Gary. Hope that cleared it up for you.
Hey, guys. Gary from Jacksonville. I'm listening to you guys go on about the summoning, and Summer's discussing how Sheridan, had, was driven to get the job done. That's why he was being so serious, or at least that's what I understood her to say, because he knew he only had so much time left. I'm just curious, at this point, when he had just come back from Zaha Doom, did he have that 20-year lifespan at that point, or was it not till he got killed for the second time by during the Okesh battle? Is that the point where he got 20 years left, or was it actually 20 years at the end of Zaha Doom? I'm a little confused on that point. If you guys could illuminate it for me, I would appreciate it. Take care, guys. Bye.
It sounded like somebody was dialing a modem.
I thought somebody was pressing buttons on a microwave to get some popcorn started. Well, to Gary's point, I think you're talking about a difference of maybe a week.
A week or two tops. But yeah, his 20 years started when he let go at Zaha Doom. Basically, as soon as Lorien jump-started him, that started the countdown. And when Kosh, the piece of Kosh left him, and basically probably draining him a little bit, he was able to re-energize the nanites or whatever it is inside of him. But yeah, he can't extend them beyond the initial thing. So it's like 20 years give or take. I can power them up right now because this was kind of our fault for getting him half dead. But yeah.
So I'm hoping that John and Dylan did not schedule a vacation for 20 years and 2 weeks.
Yeah, that would have been awkward.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Babylon Podcast, this is Art Gull. And just listening to the last feedback of Palooza and listening to that, oh man, I already forgot her name. She was talking about asking why Babylon 5 isn't more in the public consciousness, seeing as without it we wouldn't have had shows like BSG and well, Buffy, I guess. I never really watched Buffy, so I wouldn't know. But, yeah, she's absolutely right. I think I know exactly what the problem is, though. Kitty, get down. This is, I think it's because of the commercials. Peter, stop it. I've been listening to, like, the previews that you guys have been playing in some of the episodes. Summer's been playing some of the old, you know, next time on Babylon 5. And, you know, frankly, taking myself out of it a little bit, I looked at it and realized I probably would not have watched the show if I judged it based on the commercials. And unfortunately, this is not a new thing in television. There are several shows that I didn't get into until rather late in their runs. Just to stick to genre-related ones for now, I'm going to use Charmed as an example. I didn't watch that show for like the first 3 years because the commercials made it look like a really dumb show, which it actually wasn't once you got into it. But, yeah, I honestly think that B5, at least in part, not entirely, but in part, was a victim of a bad advertising campaign. And, well, get off of it. Sorry. My cats are completely f***ing up the call. All right. Sorry about that. Bye-bye.
That's awesome.
That would be a dollar like to you, Argle.
Yeah.
I mean, but just to clarify, wait, he's talking about the show promos, right? On the that were sent out to all the stations,
right?
Not advertising like sponsored by Zima.
He's talking about promos
coming up next week on Babylon 5.
Right.
On, okay. You know, on your local Fox affiliate, and we haven't decided exactly what time to air it. So,
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think those the B5 spots actually got good until it was on TNT.
Yeah, and they're putting money into it.
Yeah, I agree, because they took some of the weirdest scenes and pasted them together. It was just
the approach changed after a while. But yeah, well, you have to look at a lot of other promo type stuff. It can be very dry.
And also, the promos on TNT actually use the B5 music. The promos in syndication for the first 4 years used that that silly PTEN music. It wasn't the show's music.
You're right, yes.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Had to pay extra for that, that's why.
I don't remember much of the commercials for the show much, because I was hooked on it from the moment I saw it. And at that point, you know, it was more a matter of just trying to find when it was on.
Mm-hmm.
So if a commercial came on, I was excited because it was just Babylon 5. Woohoo! I wasn't paying attention to the content of it at that point. But he's right.
Well, if you have them on the DVDs.
I just don't watch them.
Well, check them out. And then after you watch like half of the ones for season one and half of the ones for season two, you'll realize, oh my, this is the best they could do back then.
I'll have to go back and watch them, because like I said, that's the one thing on DVDs I never watch. Like, why don't I want to know what happened next week? If I got it, I'll just queue it up.
Cool. So, I think we're done.
Ah, wait! Michael, the other day you and I were talking, and our good friend Doug Kress's name came up, and we talked about the Parsec Awards. Is it that time of year again?
Yes, it is that time of year again. You bet. Go check out the Parsec Awards, and there's all kinds of things happening over there. I think nominations are closed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Chris is also part of the Parsec Awards.
Letters to the nominees should be going out any moment now, and we'll be accepting samples very shortly.
On boogers. So what you're saying is all nominations are closed at this point.
Correct.
So
yes.
Did we nominate anything from B5, or did we submit anything?
Well, no. We haven't gotten to the submission stage yet. B5 was nominated. The podcast was put up there. I saw the nomination page. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many votes we got.
There weren't particularly votes. Any podcast that's nominated is nominated.
Yes, well, let's talk to one of the organizers of it who's sitting right next to us, which is Chris.
No voting necessarily in terms of numbers, but any podcast that's nominated does get into the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So very shortly, we'll be asking for samples. Audio samples, they vary depending on the type of podcast you have, and rules are available there already. So if you know you have a podcast, you can start putting samples together.
So, Chris, would it behoove us to use a clip from this show where it has your voice in it?
No.
it is after the cut off. Yeah, I think the is April 1st of 2007 through March 30 of this year.
Yes, I believe 31st.
Yeah, basically April to April. So
the duck one will duck actually...
That's what I was going to say,
in.
Michael.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
The duck episode is in. Yes. And that was,
right.
We've already talked about this, Jeffrey. That was the one we were going to submit.
Yes, the duck. The duck is in this year.
Yes, it is.
But if anyone has questions regarding what to put in their samples, by all means, you know, contact the Parsec committee, and we will give you answers or try to help you through that.
Okay, so we want to submit the duck, but maybe we should ask our fans if they've got an episode they want to suggest that we submit. Then so we'll put that out there and see if anybody has a better idea than Michael's.
Yeah.
I dare you.
Exactly.
All right. So that will definitely wrap it up for us today.
Oh, yeah. We're way over now.
Check us out in Second Life. Follow the links from BabylonPodcast.com. Come visit BabylonPodcast.com. Come visit us, our forum. We have a forum at FarpointForums.com. Also, if you have your own feedback to send us, shoot an email to BabylonPodcast@gmail.com. Or call in a voicemail. That number is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
Yeah, that must have started working on the lensman script. Woohoo!
And we'll see you next time. No sleep till Babylon.
We thought we owned whatever space we flew through. We sought our missing souls and lived with pride. Then humans came along and killed our leader. And I've aided and abetted genocide. And so I metamorphosized half-human to fulfill a prophecy and make amends and try to bridge the gap between our peoples. But no one ever warned me of split ends. Please, Ivanova, help me regain my dignity, for this stuff is matted, brittle, dry, and thin. Can you recommend a shampoo and conditioner? Can you help me with the curlers of Dylan? Can you help me with the curlers of Dylan? This hair to Minbari is weird. Someone tell me why half the guys have a beard. And Lemire thinks it must hurt me, but it's oddly nice to have follicles wrapped up in strips of tin. But I draw the line at wearing a babushka just to cover up the curlers of Dylan. Thank you, Susan. You're a champ. Ooh, that's odd. What was that cramp? Much more painful than the curlers of Dylan.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome.
So yeah. Once again, Tom Smith, we love him. Woo!
Thanks for sharing that, Luke. That was great.